A good Monday morning to you. It's the 19th of August here at the Talking Place, the place for talk. Adam Lepp here with a fine-er mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor as we bring back our usual sharer of the microphone, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman from his domicile in southern Florida. And Ron, how are you doing on this fine Monday morning?
I'm doing very well. It's a nice hot day as usual in South Florida. Good. I'm doing fine.
Well, last week we were joined by a mutual friend of ours, a very talented artist, Daniel Finaldi, who hangs his hat in the Garden State of New Jersey, talking about everything from New Jersey and other geographical interests, for lack of a better term, I guess proclivities. That's the word I was thinking of. And, of course, politics, art, and almost anything else we could get a handle on. Did you enjoy our little discourse last week with Dan?
Oh, absolutely. And I've talked to Dan on the phone, even, you know, with friends. He's a wonderful, very talented, and very intelligent guy.
Now, yesterday you made an appearance at another talk radio venture, as you often do, because you're in such demand as a talk show guest. And that would be the Here Be Monsters program. I never quite understood that title. On
the
blog
show, yes.
Blog Talk Radio, a web-based live and broadcast and podcast website. You know, we don't mind plugging the competition because we're really on the same side. They're not a competitor. We all make each other better. So we do invite you to go to blogtalkradio.com and listen to all kinds of viewpoints, not just politics, but almost anything else. Ron is often a guest of Gwendolyn Holden Berry and Wayne Johnson, who are on that show. Wayne was on with me.
Jack Gildell.
A few months ago. And when you were on that show, Ron, I was listening yesterday evening while I was doing my workout. I often listen while I'm on the exercise machines, figuring I can exercise my political beliefs while I exercise my body. Many listeners, Ron, probably feel that you are a bit of a liberal. I really would call you a mainstream Democrat. You don't really seem super liberal to me. The country's gotten so divisive that although Ron may seem very far to the left, he's really a Hubert Humphrey type. And of course, Joe Biden, a middle-of-the-road Democrat. Now, with Gwen Berry, as we've talked about, and I've joked about a bit, she makes you look like, let's say, George Bush. She makes you look like a moderate Republican. She is definitely to your left. Would you agree with that she is noticeably to your left, or do you think maybe there isn't as much of a difference between you and Gwen as I've interpreted there to be?
I would say she is to my left, because she even made a comment that she thought she was more to the left than any of the people on the panel. She said that last night.
Yeah, well, she's definitely,
but she's still
definitely honest. As I mentioned while I was listening to the show, I didn't catch all of it. Best part was the end where you gave a plug for me and Scott and your appearances on this show. I've often heard conservatives, Ron, say that the liberals, I mean, often mentioning political candidates, I mean, just pick one of the Democratic candidates because pretty much all of them, even Biden, although not as much as some of the others, has been mentioned, that many conservatives just feel that liberals hate this country. They aren't patriotic. They aren't good Americans, and maybe they should live elsewhere. And I said, that upsets me because I think we're all on the same side. We're all Americans. I don't believe that, other than a couple, and you probably can imagine which two I'm thinking of, other than a couple, I don't, that blatantly seem to dislike this country. They all have issues. All the candidates, including Republicans, and certainly myself, have issues with this country, but they still love it, and they're still patriotic, and they still think it's the best place in the world. But my opinion of Gwen is she really hates America, and that's her right. I'm the first person in line for free speech, but I think she does go overboard.
I know you think that, but I would not go that far. I would think that if we can't have critics that make strong statements, then we have lost our freedom and our civil liberties and Bill of Rights.
But there is a line drawn, though, between, and I criticize plenty of things, and you do, but I still feel that you are a patriotic American and that you love this country and still agree it's the best country in the world. And I don't think Gwen, I don't think Gwen thinks that. And
I'm sure she does. I have no doubt that she does. She's just a stronger critic, more outspoken than I am. Everybody has different personalities.
Yeah, it just depends how we interpret it. And we invite listeners, go to blogtalkradio.com, look for the Here Be Monsters link, and listen to the show from yesterday. It really was a very good one. And I will say the Blog Talk Radio website, it's a mess. I almost, even though I'm an IT guy, I've been working with computers since the 70s, I almost gave up yesterday trying to find the show live. I actually had to not use the Facebook browser. I just used Google Chrome on my phone, and I did find it, and I ended up listening and finding it without a problem. But it's very disorganized, but it's worth it, because what you'll find will be worth listening. And actually, the show quality, the sound quality yesterday was really good. So do listen to the show. We would invite listeners' opinions. If you have trouble finding out how to listen to it, or you have any questions, comments, concerns, complaints about the show, again, email me. We have that private email server that I run, adam@wwgh1071.com. But you would say, Ron, you guys had a good discussion, and on many of the issues, there certainly is agreement. Now, one thing that comes up, and this is one thing where on the surface you and I agree, it's the stuff that comes, the secondary aspects we don't agree. We are not for open borders. Open borders just being kind of a general term. That can certainly have different meanings, but I think people listening know what we're referring to. Would you agree that Gwen would be in favor of open borders, or am I maybe putting her a little far to the left than I have a right to?
She has never made a statement to that extent the way you are saying it. I don't know what she thinks that she doesn't say, but I would not say that. But I think she does think that what we're doing with these kids in the cages, and also with the arrest of all these people, and yet nothing done to their owners in Mississippi, that it's outrageous the way ICE is operating. And I agree. I don't say get rid of ICE, but we need a real reorganization, and some of the people in that group have to be fired. But I wouldn't go to say get rid of it. No, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I don't think it's really come up. But we do agree, though, that she is to the left of you, and probably one of the most left people that you've ever been on the air with. And it's interesting to see the different degrees of viewpoint. But
I'm tolerant of people, even those I don't agree with on the right. I mean, I don't agree with them, but I don't call the names. So I think she's got every right to have her views, as much as Steve King, even though I hate what he said, the Iowa congressman. I think actually to say he should resign, see, that I would not agree with, because he was elected by his constituents, and if his constituents want him in the Iowa district that he's in, he should stay. How's that?
Now, one thing we do agree on, Ron, which I don't fully understand, and this is very damaging to the Trump administration, why isn't the employer of the illegal aliens arrested? I thought that hiring illegal aliens was a very serious offense. That's why when you hire somebody, you have to have that person fill out an eligibility form to work in the United States. I don't understand. That person is committing a very, very serious offense. And It's difficult to make, because, you know, I do support ICE, and I feel that it is necessary sometimes to do the raids and use force. However, you need to be consistent and come after the person that's hiring the illegals. And that's where it's like, what's going on here? It doesn't seem like it's very fair.
It is not.
What do you think, Ron, might be the reason why it's and we don't even hear a lot about this. What is the reason why the person doing the employing of the illegals, why isn't he or she being seriously penalized? That makes no sense to me whatsoever, but maybe you can shed some light on it.
What is? That's why. Trump supporters are given a free ride, and these businessmen, even the ones that run the prisons, are getting away with a lot, and they're abusing people in the process because they're Trump supporters. That's the problem.
And you think that ICE has a directive from the White House that if people support Donald Trump, that they get away with very serious and dangerous offenses? You believe that?
You don't have to say it in writing, but it's understood by phone calls and other ways. Of course, they're not going to make a statement like that. But there's a lot of corruption under Trump. The worst corruption.
That's upsetting, because it certainly affects my opinion. And again, my ability to be a patriotic American who does love his country and puts his country first. Ron, is it possible we could elect a candidate who would, like myself and yourself, understand that ICE is important? We may need to do some reformation, but also understand that when you arrest and deport people that are here illegally, you also seriously penalize people that are knowingly hiring illegals. And again, it's been a long time since I've I've had a day job, and I haven't had a day job since 9/11, literally, where I'm paid a regular paycheck, not as a self-employed person or contractor. And I know that I filled out a form requiring that I indicate my eligibility to work in this country. Those illegal people, obviously, are not filling out those forms. Yeah. And, you know, in your job as a professor, that's a day type. That's a day job. I mean, you filled out that form. So why is
Mar-a-Lago, there are illegal immigrants working at Mar-a-Lago who he doesn't care about, you know, in Florida. So he himself is abusing it, our president, by hiring illegals.
So it seems like there's a lot of hypocrisy, and it makes it kind of hard to decide.
Is that the word? HYPOCRISY?
Yeah,
absolutely. Of course.
You know, with me, you know, I don't mind if you have a differing opinion. There's two things I can't stand, a liar and a hypocrite. And if there is hypocrisy, well, it needs to be cured, and that's not a very good thing. Let's hope that we can.
Well, the way to cure it is to get Donald Trump out of office. He's the biggest liar and hypocrite we've ever had, making Nixon look like a choir boy. Let me just go back to Steve King, though. What about the Steve King case? What horrible things he said. Should he be forced to resign as Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney's daughter, third-ranking House Republican, and even many Democrats, and even Kevin McCarthy has called? I say no. I don't like what he did, but he was elected by his district. Should be defeated by his district. If he runs and they want him, they should have a right to him. What do you say on that?
It's like the Kathy Griffin thing. You know, there's a point with Kathy. She had a photo, and again, as long as it isn't blatantly slanderous or libelous or blatantly untrue, you know, politicians, they always give partial truths. Well, you have a freedom of speech, and of course, the line does have to be drawn. It is a slippery.
He's a horrible person.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope for sure, and we're seeing vulgarity. You know, a president that uses words that we aren't going to say on this show. I did notice on the Here Be Monsters show that Wayne and Jack have a bit of a potty mouth. That was kind of amusing, but that.
Well, I don't.
Yeah, they're an internet only station, and so just let folks know they can say whatever they want. We are bound by FCC rules, which I agree with. I don't think that the F word and all those other words belong on the air, on an over the air station. There are other ways to say
Beto it. Beto O'Rourke has used it this past week. Did you hear that? Beto O'Rourke used the F word when he was talking about what happened in El Paso because he got very emotional with it.
Yeah, well, that's okay. And again, I don't use that language, but I don't use it on this show. And so.
Neither do I.
Those are just things that we say and don't say. But again, if you're on a...
We think it, but we don't say it.
yeah, well, we can think what we want. You know, I'm a big boy and getting older by
so
the
do
second.
Do you think Steve forced to resign?
I'm sorry?
Do you think Steve King should be forced to resign because he's obnoxious and disgraceful?
Well, if we were to force every obnoxious and disgraceful politician to resign, we wouldn't have any politicians, I don't think.
And the president would have been gone on day two.
I'm saying
that if the people want him, I think they're crazy, but if they want him, if he runs and he wins, he'll be the congressman from there, even though he says terrible things and he's a disgrace.
And our friend Mike Purdy wouldn't have a book to write, you know, the book about presidential insults. That's all based upon that kind of stuff. So, before we get to your recent blogs, Ron, now Ron is the author of the blog that recently celebrated its 11-year anniversary, theprogressiveprofessor.com. And again, many articles don't really take a political slant. They're just history and anecdotes and factoids and that kind of stuff. But some have a slant, and generally it's a moderate left. As I said, if you listen to the blog talk radio show from yesterday, Gwen Holdenberry makes Ron look like the Bushes, who I consider to be moderate Republicans. And in fact, the one time... especially George Bush number one was, I think he was a Democrat or more of a left-leaning Republican. So sometimes people's politics change. But Gwen is quite a bit to the left. Ron and I may not agree in my statement that I believe Gwen hates this country and should leave. But certainly we do agree that she is to the left of Ron, and she's entitled to her opinion, as I certainly would agree.
So if she's entitled, she shouldn't have to leave the country. That's my point.
Yep, that is correct. Nor would I say she should be required to, but I'm just saying, well, if you don't like it here, well, maybe you can move. That's more my opinion, but we wouldn't have as much stimulating radio conversation if she did, so maybe that's not advisable. So before we get to the progressiveprofessor.com and your recent blogs, Ron, because the one from yesterday has a lot of local implications, the Israel and the minority congresswomen, that little situation. What's your opinion on that? Is that going to come back and hit us in the you know where, or is that?
Yeah,
something?
I haven't ignored that on the blog for the moment. Still trying to figure it all out. I would just say that most American Jews will not approve of Israel banning any member of Congress from coming there, and will condemn Trump. And I couldn't believe it. Orthodox Jews, at least a specific Orthodox Jewish group, condemned Trump and Israel for doing that. And so did the AIPAC group, America-Israel Public Affairs Committee, which usually will always be supportive of anything Israel does. So Israel is really getting a lot of kickback about having banned those two women, who I don't necessarily like or agree with, but I don't think that anybody should be banned, and the president should not be telling Israel what to do, and Israel should not be banning, I would say. But I don't approve of what people, of what these two members of Congress say. So I'm sort of like in the mixed on. And as far as people saying take away their aid, no, but some people are saying I should say that. I wouldn't go that far, but honestly, I think Israel has abused its position somewhat in the way they have conducted themselves, taking us for granted. I think that. What I would say.
I think you should kiss
the view, as you
could say. I think you should kiss the rear end of anybody who gives you assistance. We have nearby cities like Detroit that are of serious urban decay, and its neighbor Flint with the water problem. I agree.
Yes.
Let's give less money to countries, some of which may not like us, and more money to places in the United States that need us.
But Israel's taking advantage, I think, somewhat. And, you know, they get this. They have a $38 billion deal for 10 years to 2026. Who do you think gave it to them? Obama. And yet Trump's acting as like he gave it to them. It's Obama who was mistreated by Netanyahu when he came in 15 against the wishes of the president, because John Boehner invited him, the Speaker of the House. So, I mean, I think Netanyahu needs to go, and I wish he would be defeated, because I think he's abusive in his power.
I sometimes call Netanyahu Netan Google, where I change Yahoo to Google, so Benjamin
BB is also known by nickname. BB,
Benjamin Netan Google is what I call him. Again, changing Yahoo to Google. That's one of my little word tanglings.
So, what do you think of BB? What is your thought on BB?
He's a little. He's got a few brain cells that I think are in the wrong place. I'm not sure how else. I'm not sure how else to say it.
Oh my God! He's here too long. He's the longest-lasting prime minister. Nobody should be in power 13 years plus more than David Ben-Gurion. I think it's a mistake.
He certainly, you know, if we take a look at the most divisive and the most unusual, and maybe the most nutty world leaders, I think Netanyahu or Netan Google, whatever his name is, and of course the Donald. Would be on that list.
Boris Johnson of the UK.
Yeah, well, the UK and the Brexit, that's another one, and maybe we'll talk
UK
about
UK is going to be dissolved soon. There will be four separate countries. Scotland and Northern Ireland and Wales will break away, I think. And England will be left, and they'll be won't be the same country. I really worry about that.
I think we'll have my friend Nick CJ on once, and we'll talk about
he
that.
He doesn't agree. He already spoke to me on Facebook and said he thinks he's in favor of Brexit. So he and I have a strong disagreement. Yeah. Maybe we should be on the same show together.
Yeah, I don't understand the entire point of the EU. I think the countries need their identity. To me, it seems like, well, the EU, open borders. Why don't we have open borders here? Well, there are reasons why we don't. And I think you should have identity. And what the UK has, where there are separate nations, but they're all part of the same state. I think that works, especially with their system where they have the royal family, who's somewhat of a symbolic leadership, and, of course, the prime minister, who's kind of like the president. And I'm hardly an expert on that, but it really seems to work. And this Brexit, I don't like the idea too much. And you would know more, Ron, having recently traveled with your son.
Well, I think it's a disaster
to Western Europe. But
yeah,
again, it's not my area of expertise. But I think countries should have their own identity, and I think it's gone in the wrong direction. But we'll see.
I think also having the European Union promotes a sense of people working together, not so much nationalism, because nationalism is dangerous when it gets out of hand.
But I think it causes divisiveness. But one thing it does also allow is more fodder for talk shows, and it keeps talk shows like this one more lively.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ron, on Sunday, you were pretty busy, not just on the Here Be Monsters program, but you wrote your blog and you talked about some Republican challengers to the Donald, and of course, one that comes
the kind
up.
Of Republicans
that,
I like.
Right, that I gladly vote for. A Republican who seems to be getting more liberal every day would be Mr. John Kasich, but we probably don't think he's going to. He's going to run against Donald, but it might be nice if he did. But you suggest John Huntsman, who I'm not as familiar with, former Utah governor, ambassador to China under President Obama, now resigning as, well, everybody who works for Donald resigns. Now resigning.
No, but he's got great foreign policy background. He was the best person to run in 2012, but he couldn't win the nomination. He's a really solid person.
Now resigning as ambassador to Russia under Donald Trump, John
and to run for governor of Huntsman. Utah again, which he was years ago.
And the aforementioned former Ohio governor and longtime congressperson, John Kasich, as opposed to South Carolina governor, former congressman Mark Sanford, who may also be putting his hat in the ring there. So, well, South Carolina, that's also the home of Nikki Haley, right? That's an interesting state.
Yeah.
We have Nikki Haley, I think she has her eyes on the presidency. She might surprise us by running in it. You never know. But she's still
young.
By the way,
talk about a woman running as a Republican. Lynn Cheney, the daughter of Dick Cheney, third-ranking Republican in the House, definitely, I think, would be challenging in 2024 and probably against Nikki Haley. And she's much more right-wing than Nikki Haley.
Yeah, that would be,
I'm just pointing out she's a strong person, and she's going to be probably running in the future.
That would be an interesting one, wouldn't it?
Yes. Rivals, definitely.
Bottom line is, Ron, it's unlikely that the Republican nominee, when people go to the polls in November of next year, will be anyone other than Donald J. Trump. But you never quite know.
Well, Mark Sanford's a disaster. He had a sex scandal a decade ago that forced him out. This is ridiculous. He's even thinking of running. And he's very religious, which makes him more hypocritical that he could go and cheat on his wife like that, the woman in Argentina.
Yeah, well, men have their urges, and I guess he has a few of his, but he probably should learn from.
But not when you're in South Carolina.
Others like Bill Clinton, you know, keep your pants zippered. It might be a good idea.
Yeah.
So, on the 16th, you wrote, a massive economic recession, possibly depression, is on the horizon, and timing is critical. Now, we know you're a fan of Mr. Barack H. Obama, and you indicate that he brought about an economic recovery after the George Bush number two administration. And again, what comes up must come down, the gravity rule. And Donald Trump has, you write, ensured a future massive recession, maybe even a depression, by his insane policy on tariffs. One thing I'll ask you, Ron, and just to educate our listeners and me, as I'm not an expert on this stuff, as I mentioned earlier about the EU. What is the purpose of tariffs? Are tariffs always bad, or can they be bad or good if managed properly? What is your take on the idea of tariffs, of tax on goods traveling internationally?
Okay, well, I could just tell you historically, two Republican presidents, 50 years apart almost, Benjamin Harrison, 1892, after the McKinley tariff passed, it was the panic of 1893, the tariff raising rates on foreign goods, it caused an economic collapse on the stock market. And then in 1929, when Herbert Hoover came in, we had the Smoot-Hawley tariff, actually passed in 1930, and economists said, no, don't do it. And he did it, and the depression had started, but it made it far worse. And having tariff wars, which is not a war, but, you know, having countries putting barriers on each other is not good. Free trade, I believe, is always the best thing, and not have any barriers. And now we're going into that again with the tariff wars against China particularly, and our soybean farmers are being killed off, and consumers are going to pay higher prices. And tariffs are not a good idea in modern times. It was only good when we were building an industrial economy in the late 19th century, you know, in the Gilded Age. But after that, tariffs have never been a good thing, in my opinion.
So you pretty much say no tariffs. It's just not a good idea. It is a detriment to free trade.
Yes.
And these tariffs.
Consumers suffer, and farmers suffer, and businesses suffer in many cases when that happens. And it's happening already. We know that.
And
soybeans, particularly.
Why do you think Donald Trump is implementing this tariff with China? We import so many.
He's an expert on every subject. He understands economics better than you and I, and even the economists. He knows foreign affairs better than everybody. He knows intelligence services better. He knows everything. Now, there's this video going around of how he's wonderful and knows everything about everything. And really, as somebody said, this needs to be put on TV every day in the campaign to have people look and see the stupid, idiotic things he says that he knows more than everybody on everything. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh, so you were
no history either.
You were being sarcastic, I presume. Okay, so
in what way?
Well, that he knows everything. Donald Trump, the
he says it. There's a video. I'll send it to you if you haven't seen it.
I'm aware of that. Plus, he's a vibrant young man. Don't forget that one either. So, also last week you wrote. Again, one of my favorite names. Time for John Hickenlooper. I just love saying that name, so this kind of got me sad. Steve Bullock and Beto O'Rourke, or also known as Beto. I heard your friends on the show yesterday say Beto, but whatever his name is, to give up presidential candidacies and run to help create Democratic Senate majority in the 117th Congress. So the two Rocky Mountain governors, Ron Hickenlooper and Bullock, and you know, we both like Bullock. He's very smart and he seems to understand science very well, and he's very moderate Democrat, so he's more my cup of tea. And again, Hickenlooper, and of course O'Rourke, another rather divisive figure. You say they have no real opportunity to continue further, and you're thinking that O'Rourke might be better just running for Congress. And that would be a better objective for him.
Yes.
Bullock is fascinating and did well in the second debate, but he came in too late. That rhymes. Has no traction, despite his being quite impressive. And Hickenlooper, well, he is a massive dud. For a minute, I thought you said massive dude, but it's massive dud. And apparently is leaving the race later today. And that was written on Thursday. Did that happen? Did he leave the race, or is he still in it? Do you know?
Yes, Hickenlooper left the race, so now we don't have to worry about the longest presidential name ever, with Eisenhower being the longest, 10 letters. This would have been 12 letters. How would they have called him? President Hick or President Loop? I don't know, but they wouldn't have been able to put Hickenlooper in the whole title.
Or just like Hickey. Of course, that sounds
Hickey. Hickey. Or Loopy.
Or you have to be Loopy to be president, I think. That would be
But we have Loopy. We want a Hickey. I'm joking.
So Hickenlooper has departed. But although we both like Bullock, and he could be a vice president, but you don't think he has much of a chance to sit behind the Oval Office desk. And I would
not now, but he could be vice president. The only thing is, I understand you are thinking of Biden with Bullock, but that would be two senators, former senators, two people from states with only three electoral votes. That's never happened in history to have both of them for the minimum electoral votes. I don't think Delaware and Montana would come together very well because of, you know, you'd have to pick a state, I think, for the vice president.
Yeah, you have to look at where somebody's from. And yesterday, Ron, I brought up Sherrod Brown, although he claims he doesn't want to be vice president. I don't believe him. What do you think of him as a VP candidate? He's he's been around a while. You don't realize. Yeah, you don't realize how old he is, but he's around 70. But he's still, 70 is the new 50.
So much younger. His wife, Connie Schultz, is great. She's a journalist. And I'm thinking if he was vice president, his wife would be a great second lady. And Jill Biden, Dr. Jill, would be a great first lady. It'd be a very inspirational couple of women there if that happens. But I tend to think Brown will not be picked. I don't think so. He had his better chance in 16, and Hillary picked Kane instead of Virginia. Probably should have picked Brown.
Tim Kaine along with Sarah Palin, the two stupidest vice presidential choices in my lifetime.
I found out that Kaine was on the short list for Obama in 8 before he picked Joe Biden. He was thinking of Governor Kaine. Wasn't he a senator? So Kaine actually had a shot in 8, didn't get it. 16 he did, and of course was on the losing ticket. But he was actually on a short list twice, Tim Kaine. By that.
People,
and easy to be on a short list.
Yeah. Just kind of berated Obama for picking the, quote, old white guy as vice president, but Biden was a good choice, and I think he realized,
yes,
Biden isn't the most interesting guy in the world. He does say stupid things, but he's a good, safe choice. He's well-known, and he's a good man. You have to kind of look at both ends of it. Kaine, I think he even has less charisma and I just he doesn't seem very
likable. He's a lot younger even now than Biden. That's the advantage. You know?
And we mentioned Dan Quayle, maybe not a good vice presidential choice, but wasn't too bad because Bush won, although he.
Yeah, but Dick Lugar, the other senator, was brilliant. Should have been the, he's a good Republican senator. He should have been the one to run back in 88.
But with Lugar, Bush, number one, following, certainly I would say, the most popular president in my lifetime, you pretty much couldn't lose. Being the vice president from Reagan, Bush already had half the election in his hand. And so his questionable VP choice may not have been too bad after all. Quayle being from Indiana.
If he didn't die, we would have had President Quayle. And when he was sick once with atrial fibrillation, H.W. Bush, it was scary, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, with Indiana, more Republican state, but bordering Ohio, where you have to, and Michigan, two states you kind of need to win if you want to win the election. So maybe it wasn't so bad after all. But I, you know, with Brown, he's a little too liberal for me, but I can live with him. He doesn't have a lot of charisma. He's a terrible speaker. But he's a good man, and I wouldn't have an issue with him being the VP, but I'm not sure that that's going to happen. Who knows what's...
But also, Brown, such a normal average name to be a vice president or president, that's it's like a surprising name in a way when you think about it.
Well, don't insult the
like
person who...
Fifth.
Right. Don't insult the person who was president when I was born, though, President Johnson number two. And Johnson being...
And Johnson also, but Al Smith was the candidate in 28 against Hoover. Alfie Smith, another, the President Smith, would have been hard to take, too, I think.
And Johnson being the second most common name in the United States. And the gentleman who was president when I exited my mama's womb. So, speaking of Smith...
Jones, how about Jones? Senator Jones of Alabama has a...
As we've talked about many times, President Carter's wife, Rosalynn, her maiden name was Smith. And as you probably know, Ron, yesterday was her 92nd birthday. So,
Great.
Eleanor Rosalynn Smith Carter, that's her full name, born August 18th, 1927. So the closest we've had to a President Smith has been the still living maiden name of... the first lady of President Peanut, Jimmy Carter, and many videos and stories about Mrs. Carter on the internet.
Yes.
Of course, Jimmy Carter, as we've talked about, still teaching Sunday school at his church in Plains, Georgia. People arriving hours before the service to attend the service, and he poses with a photo for everybody who wants one. So it's kind of cool.
Yes.
Yeah,
I want to remind you, October 1st, he'll be 95, and on October 17th, he and his wife will have a longer marriage than the Bushes. So within the next 2 months, two big accomplishments beyond her birthday is his birthday and their longest presidential marriage in October.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter, was ever a man who, I mean, granted his presidency was during a difficult time with inflation and the energy crisis, but someone who really was not a very good president. And he was kind of a wimp. That was kind of the main thing.
Circumstances, a lot of it, yeah.
He just didn't have a lot of, didn't seem to get taken overly seriously. He is a good man, and he was and is, and probably didn't make, I mean, same problem Trump has, but in a different way. Didn't make good choices with the people that he associated with, although he did listen to them, unlike Trump. And
I want to point out, by the way, that, of course, Carter, if you look at any president of recent times, he's the closest to being Mr. Rogers, if you think about it.
Yeah,
a decent,
and that's the thing is,
passionate,
you know,
passionate
as I said,
Mr. Rogers type, you know?
One of my young friends, he said he likes Trump because he's such a, well, it's a seven-letter word. It starts with an A. And the last part of the word is whole, so you probably can figure out what he meant. But, you know, if there was ever a reason to say, well, maybe Carter was too nice, and he was. Mr. Rogers is good for a children's program, but not for the president. You have to be a bit of a, well, again, starts with an A and has seven letters, and the second syllable is whole. I mean, maybe not as much as Donald Trump. Maybe not as much as Donald Trump is.
And is married three times is not a great choice either.
But it's not an office for somebody without a lot of backbone who has a bit of an attitude and can be, again, that A word when necessary. And maybe Donald Trump takes that a little too far, and we understand that. But, Obama's a nice guy. And I think he had a way of balancing it, knowing when to flex muscle if needed. And
he and Biden were a great team. They were both decent people. Very rare. Although Carter and Mondale also were very decent together. Mondale, you like Mondale. He was very good, too. They were very good, Carter and Mondale, as well as Obama and Biden.
Yeah, and again, just like, and I think even you would agree, Ron, in both cases, the administration should have been reversed. Mondale should have been president. Peanut should have been vice president. Obama should have been VP.
Probably in that case. I'm not sure about Obama, only in the sense of experience, Biden better. But I don't think Obama was that bad. But I agree that Biden was sort of like more the heavyweight originally, and so was Mondale. Yes, I agree.
And again, Obama, I think he's has a good legacy after his presidency, and he's still in his in late 50s. So we've not heard the last of him, and he certainly is not one to shy away from opinions about the current goings on at the White House. So we'll see if he may end up.
Yeah, I want to point out. And, of course, Obama's lucky, as I said in one of my articles on History News Network, that he comes after Bush and before Trump. So he looks even better when you compare what happened under Bush and what's happening under Trump. Even with his faults, everybody has it, he looks really good. He's like Lincoln between Andrew Johnson one end and James Buchanan the other end. It makes him look better.
Yeah, it's some just like with rankings in sports, if your division, you know, in Major League Baseball or football, has weak teams, you don't have to be a great team to be number one. And if you want to be number one on a musical chart, be popular in a week when the competition isn't quite so strong. Many musicians were kept out of the top spot when Michael Jackson's album Thriller and all the seven top ten singles from it were popular because it was so dominating. And that happens in a lot of things, in politics, in rankings of anything. So being in the right place at the right time, certainly,
of course,
is important, but that's what makes life fun. We're, of course, winding down the show, Ron, as always, time flies when you're having fun. Can you give us
You mentioned music. Let's mention about Woodstock anniversary just came past this week. That should be mentioned.
Did you attend Woodstock? You were just a man in your early mid 20s when Woodstock came about. If my math is correct.
No, I did not. I was not a hippie type. I was, as I say to my friends, I'm a progressive or liberal on religion and on politics, but very conservative otherwise.
So you never had long hair and any of that stuff, right?
I had bushy hair, but not long hair.
Yeah, well, you had
a mustache.
You had the Welcome Back Cotter look, as we've talked about.
Yes. And it was for Humphrey. I was not for Eugene McCarthy or Robert Kennedy in 68. I was for Humphrey, the administration candidate for president.
So I think you mentioned, Ron, that your friends at Blog Talk Radio invited you back next week to talk.
Yes,
more.
I'm going to be on next week. Yes.
And what do you think the conversation
will
be,
but
with Gwen and Wayne and Jack next week on Blog Talk Radio?
I don't know what they're going to bring up, but, the show's going to be on more often, and if I'm able to do it, and I think I'll be able to, I plan to be on, yes.
So
there's always something to talk about. You see, we never run out of topics, right?
Yeah, they're quite different from me, and we're all kind of different from Scott, but that's the good thing about talk radio. You never quite know what...
I say Scott's the Walter Cronkite of radio.
Yeah, Scott certainly...
And that's a compliment.
Yeah,
you
Scott...
Tell him that.
Yeah, the interviewer to the stars, he certainly...
Yes.
He's one in a million. That would be for sure. So what kind of topics are coming up in your blogs this coming week, Ron, on theprogressiveprofessor.com as we get close to Labor Day?
Well, I'll probably talk about the Israel issue with the Congress people. I'll probably talk about that. And I'm going to also talk about issues of age of presidents and talk about the wide variety of ages, and how most have been in the 50s or, most more have been in the 50s than anything else, and that I think we're going to be going in that direction. I have a feeling the candidate's not going to be one of the old-timers. I've said that in a couple of my things. I think Biden and Sanders and even Warren will probably not be the nominee. I think it'll be somebody else, even though they're ahead now. But there's a long time to Iowa and New Hampshire, and I have a feeling that we're going to be going younger again, like we did with Kennedy and with Clinton and with Carter and with Obama. The Democratic Party, anyway. I'm not sure they'll win the election, but I think we're going to go younger. So
your co-host yesterday, Ron, indicated that Facebook has become something that middle-aged people use. 35 to 70 is a demographic, and younger people, and they should have mentioned that Facebook and Instagram are the same company, but younger people favor Instagram. I don't fully agree. I think Facebook is used by all ages, but Instagram does tilt toward a younger demographic, and that Mr. Castro is a big Instagrammer. And could that help him out?
And I like Castro a lot. I also like Amy a lot, and I like Pete Buttigieg a lot. Those are the three I'm really focusing on, a combination there. Even though they're not getting much traction yet, but there's a long way to go. Yeah.
Well, what I do know is I'm sure next week and following weeks, we will have updates and changes in the landscape of the Democratic candidates and more surprises. And when we finally go to the polls, and that will be just a little more than a year from now, whatever happens will
14 and a half months. Yep.
Will be a bit of a surprise, just like when we found out that the Donald became the new president. Although I think Ron would agree. The minute he won Michigan and Pennsylvania and then Ohio, we knew the election was over. But it was a bit of a surprise, as Hillary was expected to win. But
yeah, can I put in there that he just recently repeated a lie that he was named Michigan Man of the Year about 5 years ago? There is no such award as Michigan Man of the Year. And he keeps on saying it, but it's been proved that it does not exist. And he's never been anything in Michigan except he campaigned there. He doesn't come from Michigan. So he makes up lies and makes stories up. And I don't know why he does that, because it looks foolish to do that. But he is saying that, and he's not that. The only thing he might be, if he used a joke, is, as Jewish people would say, he might be a, quote, Michiganer. Michiganer, which means a crazy person. How's that?
Well, he certainly is a character, and that's, again, part of the fun. Well, Ron, it's been very excellent and fascinating.
Yes,
and
it was a good time.
Sometimes
yes.
Controversial and, of course, humorous, having you back on the air with us, as you are almost every week here on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. And I wish you health, happiness, and prosperity, and we'll talk again, more than likely, in another week. Have a great rest of your Monday.
Yes, and I'm starting my teaching this week. I'm teaching a presidency course at Florida Atlantic University, so I'm excited this semester.
You think, you know the way people are lining up and getting up at 2 in the morning just to visit Jimmy Carter and his wife and see them teach Sunday school? Do you think people, knowing what a learned and erudite presidentologist you are, do you think people will line up at 2 in the morning just to attend or register for one of your classes, or are you not as popular as President Carter in that kind of
the class is closed. It was closed weeks ago. It's totally full, so I don't know what that means. Probably just that they need classes, but I'm so proud of Jimmy Carter. And I wasn't a big fan of him originally when he ran, but he's really become somebody I really respect and admire, and I hope he makes it to 100.
Yeah, well, he's I guess he's kind of like peanut butter. He kind of grows on you. So I guess
that wasn't
a very good joke, but I had to think of something. Okay, well, we wish you luck, Ron, in your teaching endeavors coming up, and we'll talk to you again soon here on The Talking Place.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a great week.
WWGH Radio.